Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food, which I've got to say was fantastic yesterday, celebrating its 2-year anniversary. That's some really good chicken and stuff from Gert Wings. But let's get on to the game. A 2-1 defeat at home against Wycombe Wanderers. I don't know what to make of it, but to help us go through it, we're joined by Alex. How you doing?
I'm okay, Paul. It's not great that you don't know what you make of it, considering we're doing a podcast about the game yesterday, but I'm sure we'll get through it.
Well, I think I'm going to use this as like a therapy session. And yeah, it is a fair point that that would be a struggle. It's kind of like I want to go through it more to like work out what I really am. I up, am I down, or am I just somewhere in the middle? But I've also been joined by Matt. I'm cleaning my glasses whilst I'm on a podcast. Lansley, how are you doing?
I'm doing delightful. Glasses aren't cleaned yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah, it was a bit frustrating yesterday, really, all in all, wasn't it? I think, you know, that second half, or for as bad as we were in the first half, I think, you know, as we'll get on to second half, I think we were brilliant. And yeah, it was just frustrating. Another late loss or late goal conceded that's decided another Reading FC game.
Yes. What I find a little bit worrying, there's a little bit of a trend of very bad decision-making that we're seeing in home matches. We saw it in the Shrewsbury game and we saw it yesterday. But no changes going into the game. I don't think any of us were particularly surprised by that, Alex, from the game against Carlisle.
No, not really. We played well against Carlisle. I think it would have been harsh to make any changes particularly. There's probably an argument now that you would make changes for Tuesday night or for next weekend, because that's, you know, twice in the last two home games now where we've started very slowly and we've struggled and we've played pretty poorly in the first half. So I think there's got to be an argument that there's a change or two to be made going forwards. But for yesterday's game, I think it makes sense not to rock the boat too much.
With the beauty of hindsight, Matt, do you think maybe we should have started Savage instead of Craig?
Yes. And to be honest, I think Savage should have probably started against Carlisle, because Savage is that kind of player that is probably going to be a better fit for the midfield against the poorer sides. I don't think you need Craig in that midfield against the poorer sides. Craig is probably the player that you'd want in on Tuesday. But now he's probably not going to be in on Tuesday, because obviously we've lost today and it's probably going to be Savage coming in. Because you're probably going to want that bit of defensive solidity in there that kind of Craig brings you. But with Savage, he brings that expansive football. He's much better carrying the ball, bringing the ball forward. He's a bit more tenacious in the midfield. He's going to go after things a little bit more and probably help with the press a little bit more than Craig will. But you know, that's hindsight, isn't it? At the end of the day, he could have started, we could have lost 5-0, you don't know. He could have started, we could have won 5-0, who knows? But yeah, in hindsight, I would have put him in, and I'd rather have Craig on Tuesday, but we probably know it's going to be Savage on Tuesday now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems to be starting in possibly the wrong rotation at the moment, Celes around that. What's your thoughts on that, Alex?
It's a difficult one, really, because I know Matt's was talking in hindsight there about starting Savage yesterday instead of Craig. But I think it's like before the game, I would have thought that personally, I would have said Craig was the better person to start against the team like Wycombe, who are, you know, I'm watching the game yesterday, seemed quite high press, quite physical. I would have started Craig personally before the game. Obviously, with hindsight, I would have started Savage afterwards. But it feels like a difficult one, because they both offer different things and the system does change based on how we like which one of them starts. So it feels like they obviously have to make a decision pre-game as to what kind of style that they're going to be going for, in terms of whether they're going to sit back and let a team come onto them a bit more, or whether they're going to go out and try and press the team. And, you know, perhaps Craig is more suited to the away games, and Savage, you know, we do have a decent home record. I know we've lost the last two, but we do have a decent home record still. And perhaps we should be going out and, you know, going after teams a bit more at home and pressing them high and actually having somebody like Savage makes more sense when we're playing home games rather than Craig.
Yeah, no, I mean, you could be absolutely right. I mean, obviously, none of us actually know what would have happened if Savage started yesterday. It could have still been the same kind of flat start that we've seen in a few games recently, Matt, haven't we? I mean, Wickham didn't have a golden chance after, you know, one after another, but it did feel like they were definitely on top on that game and they looked like the more impressive team.
I don't even think Reading came out for the first 45 minutes, to be honest. You know, it was one of those where you're watching it and you're just thinking, like, anything that we try and do just isn't working. We couldn't keep the ball. We couldn't press. We couldn't pass through the midfield. It really
did feel like everything that could go wrong was going wrong, in the sense of every pass was off, every 50-50 Wickham won. Every flick which went out for a throw-in or a goal kick or a corner, it went Wickham's way. Mm-hmm. And it isn't like, you know, a case of all of that is because Reading were playing bad. It's just like some of it is pure bad luck that we just were not getting any of those flick-ons or winning any of those like 50-50 decisions. But obviously combine that with the fact that we just didn't look like we were particularly prepared for how Wickham wanted to play either.
No, I've got to agree. We've got a question here from Tom Harrow Smith saying, first Shrewsbury, now Wickham. Our team's beginning to figure us out a bit now, especially at home. It feels that teams know if they start and press well early doors, they can really stifle us, which is worrying for the running. What's your thoughts on that, Matt?
I don't think I agree with that because Shrewsbury was a bit of a freak result. Like Shrewsbury, we should not have lost that game. Fundamentally, like Shrewsbury scored two absolute worldies and there was a couple of, you know, goalkeeping clangers in there. I don't think that's fair for Shrewsbury. I wouldn't say that they found us out. I'd say they were maybe a bit lucky. Maybe that's a bit ignorant of me to say, but that's what I think. And again, like yesterday for Wickham, for kind of how poor we were in that first half, Wickham still didn't really actually create that much. They probably could have got two goals on another day maybe, but nothing more than that. And then when you look at the second half, how much better we were in the second half, I don't think you can say that teams have found us out. And you know, it might maybe make you think that after 45 minutes, but I think the change at half time and kind of how much better we were in the second half, if a team's found us out, you know, we can't do anything for the 90 minutes. And I think that 45 minutes is just much more like Alex said, literally whatever could go wrong in that 45 minutes could go wrong. It was one of those games where I just wanted someone just to go down after, you know, 25, 30 minutes, stop the game, let Sellers pull the boys over and just have a big talking to, you know, mid game. Because that could have changed things, but obviously didn't get the chance to. But yeah, I don't think it's fair to say, or I don't think I'd say that we've been
Out just yet. I think I agree with Matt, because even in that game against Shrewsbury, for the first, I know we were behind, but for the first, what, 30 minutes or so against Shrewsbury, we actually played okay in that first 30 minutes. And I don't think Shrewsbury particularly found us out. And I'm not sure Wickham found us out as much as we just didn't really, like, we didn't play well. I'm not sure if that
we didn't play well and we didn't threaten in that first half, right? That was the big thing.
Yeah, and so much of yesterday was basically Smith competing against somebody who was better in the air than him when the ball went forwards, and we didn't get the ball in behind. And I don't know whether that's Wickham necessarily finding us out or I was just playing poorly. Maybe it's a mixture of both, right? But, yeah, given that we've also, you know, won, you know, the two games prior to the two losses, you know, we beat Port Vale very comfortably and we beat Carlisle very comfortably. So is it really a case of being found out, or is it just a case of like not turning up on the day? Like, I think it's more a case of we just haven't turned up in the first half in these last two home games. And that's what's, you know, killed us, because we're basically trying to fight for points from behind both times.
Yeah, I would agree on that, really. And you can feel the pressure building in the stadium when we don't actually turn up, because you can see the massive pressure there is on the players and the desire to get the points, the need, because of obviously what's going on with the club. But we move on to the 16th minute. Wickham take the lead. There would, got to say, a fantastic overhead kick there from Lundvik. It's just, I mean, whatever you say about the defending, the cross comes in, Yedham heads the ball. It's kind of landed in between Bindon and Mbenge, hasn't it, Alex? And it is a great finish, you've got to say.
It is a really good finish for a centre-back as well.
Yeah,
a centre-back score a bicycle kick. It's just, it just goes down on the list. I reckon if you went through this season and went, that was a good goal from outside the area, that he's never going to score another goal like that for another season or two seasons. The amount of goals which have gone in against us like that this season, where you just think that player is just not going to do that for another 18 months, 2 years, 5 years, never again in his career kind of goal. It just feels like we've conceded those kind of goals every other week.
The two against Shrewsbury, Zach Jules for Exeter. Yeah,
that's what I mean. It's just like, in the last two home games, we've seen three goals, and you think if any of those goals were scored, any of those goals could win a goal of the season kind of competition for those teams. It's a frustrating, it's a really good finish. Maybe you can criticise the defending. Like, I think he actually just does quite well to basically back up into the defender and create a bit of space for himself to get the bicycle kick off. It's not the perfect bicycle kick by any means, but it's a decent enough one. And ultimately, being decent enough is what counts there. So, I think it's frustrating to concede there. It's one of those goals where you can do something about it, but ultimately, if a centre-half scores a bicycle kick, what are you meant to do? If that makes sense, you're not going to concede that kind of goal every week, and yet it feels like we do. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and there wasn't a huge amount of response, was there, from us after that as well, Matt?
No, that was one of the most frustrating things. One thing we've been good at this season, has been pressing on even after conceding a goal. The team's responded well most of the time, but there was just nothing. There was really nothing in that first half from us. It's just weird. It's one of the flattest kind of just poorest first halves I think we've seen at Reading for a while. That's for sure.
When we say a while, it's only for the last couple of months. Because I think we had a couple of shots. They were very tame. I'm not going to dress it up too much. But I think we responded a little bit after the goal, but it wasn't anywhere near enough. And ultimately,
all we had there was the Ia Bishman chance, wasn't it, and the Aziz chance, which were both straight at the keeper.
Yeah, we didn't necessarily create anything of note. But I think we improved after the goal, but it wasn't by any means anywhere near enough.
I think the
actual worry, Paul, wasn't the fact that we didn't respond, but I think the real worry for me with the rest of the first half was the fact that Wickham really just carried on as it was before the goal, and it looked like they were going to score again and again and again.
Yeah, definitely. They had a huge chance just before half-time. It was sadly from Gareth McCleary cross, who we'll talk about a little bit later. And I mean, he really should score here. You can see the reaction of all the Wickham players after he misses. Obviously, doesn't go on to actually mean anything. But you think if it's 2-0 down, I couldn't see us coming back yesterday at all.
I think it's a more difficult chance than maybe you're making out, because it's kind of a half volley, and it's one of those which you almost probably need to take a touch on, I think, because of where it is. He's had to bend his body. It's still a chance. It's still a chance. And kind of, if you're scoring a goal like they did, to begin with, and some of the goals were conceded lately, you're kind of expecting, that should go in, right. But I don't think it's a nailed on stone wall of a chance, just purely because of the way it's coming over to him. It's a difficult chance to take that. If he scores it, it's a brilliant goal.
I mean, it's definitely not an absolute sitter, but it's one of those ones when you can see how much they're surprised he hasn't. I mean, it's not even on target, which is the shocking moment for them, isn't it? But we go into halftime, we're thinking we must have to make, some changes here, or the team's going to have to up their energy levels hugely, because I wouldn't say Wickham massively outworked us, but it was just really flat. It just didn't feel like anything was going to conjure up. But we do make some changes. We take off Kelvin, we take off Craig, we bring on Elliot, and we bring on Savage. you could see straight away, Alex, I thought anyway, we changed the formation slightly, and also those players were having an impact.
Yeah, the system definitely changed. You know, with the two players who came on, we kind of allowed the wing backs to get forwards a lot more. I think Savage kind of ultimately, we almost, it wasn't quite necessarily three centre backs, but Savage basically played so deep that it allowed, you know, Yeardom and Mola to push forwards in that second half, and we ended up playing a lot more kind of like, we played a lot wider in the second half than we had in the first half, where everything was going through the centre and towards Smith. And actually, second half, everything was out wide and everything was going through Mola or Yeardom or Aziz, which, to be honest, I think probably was, you know, it was probably the right decision. I think both the players who got hooked at half-time, I think Craig was not necessarily unfortunate to be hooked at half-time, but I think he was kind of a victim of circumstances. He was coming off because we were behind. I think there's probably, you know, there's probably an element of change needed at left wing now, Paul, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It's not really working, is it, there at the moment for Kelvin? He's giving everything. Initially, when he came in against Wigan, when he came on as a sub, he did okay. Created a couple of chances, could have scored against Oxford. Obviously set up the goal, the own goal. So I'm not going to say he's done nothing. And he also got the goal, which was massively deflected against Shrewsbury. But
the problem is it's very, very inconsistent. And it comes in like, it comes in complete like fits and spurts. And either he does something and it's really quite good and productive, but the stuff he doesn't do, which isn't productive, is quite detrimental. It's not a case of like it's not creative. It's almost actively detrimental at points. You know, his touch is really pretty poor. I think his first touch, if he's not got space to run into, his touch is pretty poor, and it isn't helping ultimately. I think it's quite comfortably our weakest position on the field at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, we've got someone here in the questions, Lord Justice, one of his three questions. I'll read one of them out. Why not play Carson left wing? You can put in a decent cross and offers a bit more defensively than Kelvin and Paul. I've got to say, I think Carson's way down the list there, Lord
it's
Justice.
This is like the Nesta Guinness Walker chat from last year, isn't it? Where we should have played Nesta Guinness Walker left wing.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
I think you need the Ben Elliott in the second half, he came on and I think he was fine. I'm surprised there's people like, you know, criticizing Ben Elliott from yesterday, because I thought he was absolutely fine. Ultimately, he doesn't, even yesterday, I don't think he came on and really played left wing.
No, he moved around a lot, which is good, because sometimes when he's been playing on that left hand side, it really kills him, because he's far better kind of center or just on the right. It's not his natural position, is it, Matt? I mean, hopefully we do see a change there. I don't think we need dramatic changes. I don't feel like the team needs to be revamped. We need a whole new formation or anything like that. I think we're still playing quite close to the levels that we've been playing at for months, and sometimes it doesn't work. I never felt that we were playing at 8s or 9s out of 10, and this is kind of what you're going to get some weeks, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, I guess at the end of the day, we're in League One. We've got League One players. You know, and a lot of the League One players are young players, you know, that are building, growing. And, you know, we've got a number of free transfers in there that, you know, ultimately were free transfers for a reason. You know, I guess there's the odd exception in there, you know, the likes of Lewis Wing. But, you know, that's where we are at the moment. I don't think it's, I wouldn't say it's fair to say, you know, it was a massive drop off yesterday, or, you know, things should be going to alarm stations now, because I think, you know, we've still played, you know, pretty well. But I think certainly at the left mid, left wing position, what we just need more of is square pegs in square holes. And realistically, same on the right, because all we've got really there is Femi Aziz, right? We do have Makari for the left, I know. Maybe I'd try and get him back into the team and obviously see how he goes. He's not brilliant. You know, he's not going to set the world on light, I don't think, but at least it's a natural winger kind of out there. You know, I think the Kelvin experiment was worth doing, you know, because I think he showed enough, you know, at Wigan and Oxford to try and play there. But like with Elliot, it's not his natural position, you know. It'd be nice to have him as maybe, you know, a backup striker option, or potentially, you know, have that option to, for him to come off the bench if needed at left midfield. And Elliot, it'd be nicer to see him play more in the centre, because he's played a couple of times recently in the centre and he's really, really excelled. So, you know, it'd be nice to just see more of them in their natural positions.
It would be good to see Elliot start, I think, not as the left winger, but as the faux left winger, kind of similar to how he was yesterday in the second half. And then you basically ask your left back to get up and down for 60 minutes with the intention of bringing that left back off after 60 minutes and replacing him. If Dorset's going to be fit going forwards, I think it makes sense. And I'm sure people will then start whinging that we're changing the back line after 60 minutes or whatever. But I think it at least gives you that element of, you know, an ever central midfielder who can then cover on the left wing defensively when needed. But as Matt said, I think the experiment it was worth trying. It hasn't really worked. And like, we need to go back to just filling the left wing with a left winger, ideally.
It would be ideal. Well, we start off the second half with a really good header from Tyler Bindon off the post on another day. Maybe that goes in, maybe it falls to another Reading player, but it wasn't meant to be. Sam Smith then has another big opportunity later on when he goes through one-on-one. The goalie comes out pretty well, I would say, on that one. Matt, do you think maybe Smith, think he should have done a little bit better there?
Well, he's done everything right up to that point, hasn't he? You know, he's out-muscled the defender. I think the keeper's done well. He's come out quickly. He's narrowed the angle. He's made it difficult for Smith. Smith probably needs to lift it around the keeper the way he's gone down. But it was just one of those which I think when I was at the game, I thought it was a bigger chance than it was. Watching it back, the keeper's done really well. I think you've got to give the keeper a lot of props there. You know, he's come out quickly. He's got down. He's made himself big, and he stopped, you know, a good shot from a striker who's in form. I'm not sure there's a massive amount more that Smith could have done. You know, on that, I'm not exactly criticizing him for missing that one.
No, I agree. I think it was one of those ones that was kind of, if you just get another yard of space there for Sam Smith before the goalie, but that's down to the goalie doing so well and anticipating it. He might well score. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And if Smith probably takes the shot maybe 1 or 2 yards further out, you know, so it's not kind of in line with, you know, the 6 yard box or 7 yards from the byline. You know, I think the keeper's just done a really good job there. Take note, David Button.
Oh, that's new.
Sorry. I had to. Apologies.
I knew something would come in there. So one of the nice moments I thought yesterday was Gareth McCleary getting a really good reception, Alex, when he was substituted. I think he was a really good player for us. And, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, the crowd appreciate his efforts. And we were actually losing at this moment. So, you know, it just shows you the difference between social media reaction and actually what happens in reality, because he was himself, Gareth, went on to say how he's overwhelmed by it and basically really appreciated it.
Yeah, it was a nice touch, wasn't it, when he came off? And I think, you know, in hindsight, when you look back on what happened with him and Gunter and other members of the squad at that point in time when he was consigned to playing for the under-21s and, you know, not training with the first team, you look back and was it really the decision of the manager at the time, or was it a club decision and, you know, forced away from a manager's hands? Like, we don't know ultimately, but given how the club's been running, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, would it really surprise anybody to find out that, you know, McCleary and Gunter, etc., you know, actually were all model pros and basically just got the short end of the stick, as it were? Wouldn't surprise anybody, I don't think. So yeah, it was nice for him to get, you know, a decent enough send off, as opposed to his kind of like, yeah, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, like his forced send out of seeing in the under-21s and basically just not playing any more football for Reading at the time when it happened. So yeah, it was good reaction, I think.
Yeah, it was probably one of the nicest moments, I think, from any former player, I think, coming back. But, you know, realistically, he's a guy that how many games did he play in total? Close to 300, I think, for us. You know, over 8 years, he was a great servant to the club. And I mean, in his time, he was one of my favourite players, you know, constantly whilst he was here. I know he divided opinion whilst he was here. I think that was more kind of on, you know, the wages he was put on. But that's not exactly his fault. You know, he took what was given to him. And the way he was treated really at the very end, you know, for the last couple of seasons really was pretty shambolic, really. You know, I know there was lots of rumours around who was really driving that, whether it was the owner, whether it was the CEO, kind of forcing the players, you know, to try and get them to move on, etc. But, you know, the way he was treated at the end, you know, no professional should really be treated that way, you know, by a club, by a staff. And it was just nice for him to come back and get a send off like that. I've seen very few players come back and get an ovation like that. But for me, he completely deserved it. And, you know, I'm really glad, you know, the Reading fans really kind of took that as well and took that stance and gave him a standing ovation, you know, because I think he deserves it. You know, like I say, he played his heart out for us. Yes, he divided opinion. And like, yes, you can say that maybe Twitter had a different opinion on him, but Twitter's not the be all and end all. And I think you saw that yesterday.
Yep. 2 minutes later, we actually managed to get the equaliser. One really nicely worked goal between Wing, Savage and Aziz. Lovely to see the cross from Aziz on the left-hand side coming in. Really good header from Smith. 1-1, 15 minutes to go or so. You're thinking we're back in it, but that was a really nicely worked goal, Alex, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of those like really kind of unspectacular goals, which actually was really quite well worked and decent team move. But it, like, obviously when we watch the finish, it's okay. It's a good header. It's, you know, it's a good finish from Smith with the header, and you don't really think much of it. And when you just see the header, but then when you watch the replay and you think, actually, that's a really nicely worked team goal as well. Like, it's got multiple passes in and out. It's from a corner. Smith finds a lot of space in the area, and you think it's just a really good piece of work from multiple players. It's a decent cross from Aziz, and I think it was kind of just deserved at that point that we'd got an equaliser. We'd had probably three big chances by that point. Obviously, the two that you've discussed, we had those two, and then this one. And I think it was kind of deserved that we'd managed to get ourselves back into the game at that point.
Yeah, I totally agree that we were really pushing. I think in the second half, as much as the first half was Wickham's, you'd be hard-pushed to say that we weren't really totally dominant in that second half.
It was a proper
half,
game of two halves, wasn't it? I mean,
it really was, yeah.
We said it. I mean, I said it to you literally, what, a minute and a half before Wickham got their penalty, about the fact that Wickham hadn't had anything. Literally, it was a case of they hadn't had a shot. I had a look at the stats afterwards. Wickham hadn't had a shot the entire second half. It wasn't a case of like, Wickham have, you know, only really got us on the break. Wickham didn't even have a break. They didn't have anything at all in that second half. It was
and
very,
at that
very dominant.
Point, I said to you, I'm fearing a sting in the tail.
You did. And
unfortunately, I really, really wish I was inaccurate here, because you've just got to look at that Clinton Mola tackle there in the 87th minute. I don't know what he's trying to do. I mean, I could see what he's attempting to do, but it really was not a wise move. And you can see the second he does it, when you look back on the replay, the reaction from Savage and Wing, immediately they look at the referee to see what he's going to give. And completely correctly, you've got to say, it is a penalty as well.
Yeah, it's as stonewall as you're going to see, right, in this division. It's probably the easiest penalty decision the referee and his assistants will have to give. It was very reminiscent, I thought, of the QPR game last year, where I think it was Loom at the time went in. It was nigh on identical, I think, actually. It's just so frustrating because it's the 88th minute. It's just like, it's just 101 of defending. Don't dive in like that, like, especially when they're going down to the byline. What are you gaining by diving in there? You know, it's just such a bad decision. And like you say, kind of Savage's reaction, I think, says it all, really. You know, he is really frustrated by it, I think. I would have liked to have heard what was said, But he certainly looks really frustrated, wing as well, head in hands. Like, I mean, Mola will know that, you know, he shouldn't have done that and that it was a bad decision.
I feel for Mola a bit because, like you said, Matt, it was a bad decision. It was, you know, obvious penalty as soon as he's gone in there like that. I feel for him because I do think in the second half, he actually had a very good second half up until that point. And I could easily, you know, if that had been a draw, I could have easily seen an argument to say that Mola was one of our best players if we hadn't conceded that penalty, because he was really good in the second half up until that point. Yes, he doesn't necessarily have an end product on the left wing necessarily, but he got forward a lot. And he was, you know, at the heart of a lot of what we were doing in that second half, I think.
Yeah, and he won the corner for the, you know, what, set up our equaliser, which led to it. So, yeah, I agree. I thought Mola was actually pretty decent in that second half. So it is a real, like, double blow because it's taken him so long to get the confidence, I feel, in any bit, you know, any of his game, because when he first came in, he looked, quite frankly, wretched, didn't he? He looked really, really done. But slowly and gradually, he's improving in games. You don't really notice him so much. And yesterday, you're actually seeing quite a lot of positivity in the kind of like formation change that we made yesterday. So, yeah, I'm sure he's felt it more than anyone else. He knows what he's done. He didn't mean to do that. It's a split-second decision. You know, sometimes he might make a decision which actually pays off for us. There was one which actually led to a goal, and I'm struggling to remember it, when he did a charge. And I think it was against Oxford when he made a split-second decision, and it worked out for us. So it isn't all bad for him. But
when will we actually save a penalty though? Because it feels like
I'm not getting into goalie gate.
I'm not getting into goalie gate. But I genuinely think the last time we saved a penalty was Vito Manone.
It's been a long time. I mean, even you know, as soon as you concede that penalty, you think, we're 2-1 down. And it's not that isn't against Button, but it's just we just don't save penalties.
We don't save. Yeah, it's nothing.
It was a case of unless this is the only way this isn't going in is if he misses it. And that wasn't that isn't a slight on Button necessarily, like, but it's just Reading don't save penalties. Just can't do it.
No,
I did see someone yesterday on social media.
It's so bad that even Emi Martinez actually let one in. Because yeah, I mean, he is a penalty. Yeah, because if the curse is so deep,
someone on social media, I think it might have been G-Min yesterday after the game, said there has to be an argument there just to bring Pereira on, because it's the 88th minute and he actually is a reasonable penalty save. You know,
imagine that. Do you know what? There's a certain level that could work, because also it just confuses the opposition. It's like, whoa, I'm not expecting that.
In the 88th minute, when you've got that substitute available, I don't know if it's like the it's the worst idea ever. Like, you might as well try it at some point. I don't.
That would be shades of, I think it was was it Tom Krul in the World Cup years ago when I think Netherlands did that.
I hadn't even considered that. I mean, that's really left field, but I'm now thinking, what have you got
get
to
on board
lose?
With it? You can get on board with it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because it doesn't make any difference to the structure of the team. It's so late in the game. I'm on board. I like it. I like your thinking. It's good.
Speak for Reading FC manager.
Yeah. Get him on board. I'm sure he'd appreciate the wages. Wouldn't like the stress, though. I don't think he'd enjoy that. No. But even despite that, we still managed to have a really good chance in injury time. And one day we will get that goal in injury time really late on from Elliot. Yet again, I think the goalkeeper for Wickham has come out and done a fantastic job. I mean, I've got to say, he's made two really, really big saves for them, hasn't he? And Ravizzoli, that is a quality name. I didn't notice that before. But yeah, what do you think on that one, Alex? Do you think maybe Elliot should do better? I think it's a really tough one again.
It's a tight angle, I think, for Elliot, but the goalkeeper's done well. It's similar to the Smith chance, really, isn't it? The goalkeeper's just done well when closing down the angle, but at the same time, you know, if it goes in and if Elliot puts it past the keeper, I don't think it would have been an incredible goal either. Like, I just think it's a reasonable piece of goalkeeping, but also it's not the most difficult chance ever. Similar to the Smith chance later in the half, like, some of those you will put in and some of them you won't. And I don't think it's necessarily like bad from the attacker's point of view that they haven't scored. And it's just reasonable goalkeeping. I almost think the bigger chance comes from the resulting corner, to be honest there, Matt.
Yeah, goal line scramble.
No. The one before that.
Oh, what was that one?
There was a header which went, it must have been inches wide, Paul. I think it came off a Wickham.
Oh, I think it was deflected, wasn't it? Because then, I think that that led to the goal line scramble.
It must have gone, I don't know, 3 inches. It was very, very close.
Yeah.
I don't know who won the header, which Reading player won the header, but they won the header and it comes off of a Wickham player and it went very close to going in. And that was just before the corner for the goal mouth scramble as well.
One day, like you say, we will get some last minute joy. I know we got one earlier in the season with Vickers in the 86th minute against Bolton, but it does feel like forever. Sorry?
Yeah.
Doesn't count, does it? It's not.
It's late,
but I agree with Alex. It's not technically after 90, isn't it? I think those you want
yes,
an
they
injury
after
time
90 either for Wickham. So, like,
yeah, no, I'm just talking. I just want to see us win. I just want to see us win in the 89th minute or the 95th minute, or you know, it would be just nice to see us get an extra point on the board really late in the game. We just haven't done it for so long. I think there was a couple of people commenting about when the last time we did it was last night. And the last time we scored a goal to actually change the game was the same time we haven't actually, you know, got an equalising goal, let alone a winning goal, since that game against Rotherham last year. And I saw Dave Harris said that goal went in on the stroke of the 90th minute. So if you kind of if you excluded that one, it's Holloway in 2022. It's just, honestly, it's such a long time when you consider how many goals we've conceded after the 90th minute in that time.
Yeah, it just seems like never ending. It's like the penalty situation, isn't it? When we concede a penalty against us, you know we're not scoring. You know when it gets to the 90th minute, you know we're probably not scoring at this point. I'd like to think we can, because we do have chances seemingly, but we've just not taken any of them.
Here we go then. Two quick questions here for both of you. Derby prediction and are we staying up? Firstly, you, Alex.
I think we'll stay up relatively comfortably still. I know that yesterday wasn't ideal with the loss, but ultimately Cambridge lost as well, Burton lost as well, Cheltenham lost, Fleetwood lost. I want to say Fleetwood lost in the end. I think it was late on. Port Vale lost, Carlisle, everyone lost below us. So the situation hasn't necessarily changed all that much. You know, yes, Wickham and Charlton are probably going to be safe at this point, but I think we've got more than enough to win, you know, whatever it's going to be, three games in a draw, maybe three games and two draws, perhaps in the last nine. I think we've got more than enough to do it still. We're not, you know, we're not playing horrendously that we're getting battered by every team at the minute. I think we'll pick up enough results still. A prediction for the Derby game. I wish we'd been playing Derby 2 weeks ago is probably my, you know, prediction or my takeaway for Derby. Because all of a sudden they've now won the last two games 3-0 back to back. I'm going to say we'll lose at Derby and people will panic despite it being Derby and us really all writing that game off, you know, weeks ago. I think we'll lose 2-1.
Yeah, I think we're going to struggle that one. I don't want to be negative, but I feel that's a realistic prediction from you there, Alex. Stevenage drew with Fleetwood 0-0, just in case anyone corrects us on that one. So, Matt, what are your thoughts on that question then I put to Alex?
Yeah, kind of very similar. It's going to be very tough. You know, you're going away to second in the table. I know we beat them earlier in the season, but if you get any sort of point in that, that's a really good point. It's not a free hit because we've proven that we can, you know, compete against teams like that. But yeah, kind of Derby coming off the back of 2-3-3s. If you give me a point now, I'd snap your hand off. But, you know, I think it could be, you know, 1-0 to Derby or 2-0 to Derby. I don't think we normally do well at Pride Park of late anyway.
I've seen us win there. Shane Long, Bryce.
Oh, actually, yes. No, I've seen us win there as well, actually. Yes, yeah, I was there 4-2. Ignore me. I'm talking rubbish as usual.
And we won there 4-0, but let's not talk about that day.
I think that, let's be honest, the bigger game is next weekend, though, isn't it?
Against Cambridge. Definitely.
Yeah. Are we staying up there, Matt? That's the question. Are we staying up?
It's so hard because you don't know what other factors might be coming in, right?
Yeah, I think deliberate, yes or no.
Even, well, I think, I think I think even with 2 points, I think we've got a fair chance of staying up. You know, I think the more games that go by, I think the points total to stay up is getting lower because the teams below us just aren't winning. You know, Cheltenham are now, they were above a point a game. They're now below a point a game. You know, it's coming to that point where you might only need 45, 46 points to stay up, you know, which is only a couple of wins away for us now. Or three wins if you take into account points deductions.
I don't want to tempt fate, Paul, but I think really the only team below us, Cambridge and Burton, the only team at the bottom four who have any chance of finishing above us are Cheltenham.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Carlisle are clearly gone. That's not a worry at all. Port Vale are essentially relegated. I know that they've got two games in hand on us, etc. But they're playing awfully and they're losing every week at the minute. Those games in hand are, you know, almost meaningless if you can't actually pick up any results. And Fleetwood are struggling to actually win games. You know, they're competing, but they're not winning, which means that they're very unlikely to pick up another, whatever it'll be, 7 points to overtake us.
Wouldn't they? And they're actually on the same amount of games as us.
Yeah, with the goal difference as well, it's very difficult to see them catching us. And then it's like Cheltenham are the only ones who I can see catching us. Actually, even they've not won. I don't think they've won in their last five games or so. So it's like they're not. For all the worry about Cheltenham, they're not superstars. They aren't actually, you know, a great team. They are struggling for a reason. So.
And then you've also got the likes of Cambridge and Burton who have just fallen like stones. I know Cambridge have now got obviously Gary Monk in charge and some people might see that as a coup for them. But, you know, that's two teams that are, you know, equal on points with us as well, below us on goal difference. You know, I think that there's enough teams realistically that are down there. I think a win against Cambridge will be massive because that massively puts the pressure again back on them, relieves the pressure on us. I think just looking at it, results can change, but you know, Cheltenham have got 34 points from 36 games, I think, for a reason this season. I know that we thought they were good when we played them and they had a good run of form then. They might maybe pick that back up, I don't know. But you know, I think if you're getting to 46 points by the end of the season, you're probably going to be safe at that point. And that's, like I say, only a couple of wins away. So,
and yeah, I know if you're listening, you're thinking, yeah, we're going to get another points deduction. Yes, we might, but we're just talking on what we've got now. Because if we do that, we're just going to go through some points deduction rabbit hole. And we've been there so many times. So if you've enjoyed this podcast, despite the defeat that we have talked about, give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. We will be back with another preview for a game against Cambridge on Thursday. And if anything else happens with Reading FC during the week, nothing is impossible, as we know. Thanks for listening. Cheers.